Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we are back, and we're going to open the phone lines and take your calls. People want to know where we got the article that I just read you on brutal marijuana studies now emerging, and that is from the Gateway Pundit. That's the Gateway Pundit. So their website is thegatewaypundit.com, and that's where I got the article, September 14th today. So if you're looking for to find that article, that's where you get it. So the phone lines are now open. We're going to open them up early. You hear that, Clifford? You hear that, Clifford? Okay. It's 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. We have so much information to get out. Normally, you know, we don't open the phone lines this early, but tonight we're going to do that, and we still have a lot of information to get out yet tonight anyhow. So 888-677-9673. And starting at the end of the month, the last Friday.
How about real quick, I got one here. City of Denver has unanimously approved a $4.7 million settlement for 300 Black Lives Matter protesters who were arrested by the Denver police, and this was in 2020 over the George Floyd incident. The jury decided that the protesters' constitutional rights were violated by the Denver police over their use of less lethal weaponry to try and break up the riots. This follows a $14 million payout to 12 injured BLM protesters. And the settlements went anywhere from $750,000 to $3 million. And that's just for 14 people on top of this 4.7. And basically, the attorneys claimed that their clients, that they never assaulted the officers or anything like that. However, we have a gentleman here by the he's a founder of PUSA. His name is Charlie Kirk. And he says, BLM burned our police stations, looted our stores. Now they're looting the public coffers. When you reward and subsidize criminality, you get even more of it. Who could have predicted that the Democratic cities would become crime-infested, drug-riddled hellscapes? Last July, the Gateway Pundit reported that the New York City officials agreed to pay $13 million to violent 2020 Summer of Love protesters. Over 1,300 protesters are eligible to be paid $9,950 for police action during their violence, looting, and arson property destruction spree as the riots continued there over the George Floyd incident in Minneapolis. In March, Philadelphia settled over 200 people, and this was in May 2020, the incident starting, and they received a total of $9.25 million over the George Floyd incidents. What a shame.
Well, yeah, here you go. They get paid. Now, what did Karl Marx say? Karl Marx said that within the collective, any of the proletariat, any of those that would be willing to do illegal acts, must be promoted instead of working in a factory. You cannot let these people be working in a factory or doing menial jobs. They must be promoted within the collective right away. All those that are willing to do illegal acts. And that's exactly what burn, loot, and murder is, okay? Here they for burning down, and this is what communism is. Again, like I said, there's nothing. There's no light at all in the Democratic Party. It is totally corrupt, completely. Yeah. There's nothing. You can't find anything in the Democratic Party that is not corrupt. Nothing. It's completely and totally corrupt. Now, here's an example of what I'm talking about. Now, Enrico Tarrio tells all after sentencing, the feds asked me to lie about President Trump in order to indict him. Here, they asked me to lie about President Trump in order to indict him. Errico Torrio exclusively told the Gateway Pundit, I told them to pound sand, and because I refused to lie about President Trump, it cost me 22 years of my life. The truth is, in other words, he got sentenced to 22 years in prison. And he goes on, the truth is, I could have been home, said Torrio. I could have been home a long time ago. I could be in my warm bed right now, laughing at the world without a problem. And all I had to do in order to do that was to lie about President Trump. All I had to do was confirm a lie. Torrio opened up to the Gateway Pundit after he was sentenced to decades in prison by the dishonorable Judge Kelly on Tuesday. He told us that I wonder how much Kelly got paid to do that. The Bible refers to these as whores. It refers to them as whores, okay? And so he told us that the persecutors in the Department of Justice attempted to coerce him into signing a false statement that would implicate President Trump by swearing that through several degrees of separation and connection, Torrio had communicated with Trump regarding plans for January 6th. Torrio, listen. You did the right thing, even if you had done it. Remember, you can't trust these people. You would have become a throwaway. The FBI is become totally corrupted. The Department of Justice, there's no justice there. It's nothing but a crooked protection racket for the Biden crime cartel. That's all they are. There is no Department of Justice. It's nothing but a protection racket. Like, you got nothing but corrupt lawyers, corrupt attorneys there. That's the reality of our day that we're living in today. We're going to take some calls. Let's go out to Dallas, Texas, and talk to Anthony. Hey, Anthony, you're in the air.
Hi. I was listening to what you said previously about, you know, the voting in 24. And I'm just curious, you know, if your strategy is, you know, get out in overwhelming numbers, wouldn't like 10 or 12 million extra voters than the previous election be a overwhelming number of voters that should have carried the president into the, you know, into presidency in 2020? And now you're kind of relying on the same strategy that failed because.
Well, no, there's one big difference. Look, here's one big difference. This radio program, along with numerous others, have been bringing out evidence when Brett Baer says, where's the evidence? We have produced tons of evidence. I mean, a lot. Story after story after story of evidence of voter fraud out there.
Right. That's not like, and I agree with you. That's not my criticism. My criticism is, if there's all this voter fraud, how in God's name can there be any assertion that coming out and voting in any type of overwhelming numbers matters? Because ultimately, in an ultimate sense, and we know this could have. This kind of voter fraud could have been going on for a lot longer. It just hasn't been looked into. Like, my vote in 2020 got thrown out completely, and I didn't know until 2 weeks after the election because I called. I called the office to make sure. But ultimately, it's who counts the votes.
Well, you're right. Now, that's where Dominion. Remember the reason Dominion has sued Fox News in that, because Fox News dropped the dimes on Dominion, and Dominion took the court and claimed that they lost so many different states had dumped their computers and dumped their system now because of the bad publicity. But
right.
So Dominion got nailed, but they also know that we have a number of other groups that are watching now.
How does that change anything? How does observing the fraud change the fact that it's going to happen anyways?
And well, no, it's here's why. By they know that they're on the alert, that they're not going to be able to be out there in your face, do it like they did before, okay? They know.
But in 2020, we were alert. In 2016, there was clearly a lot of fraud going on to get Hillary Clinton votes. And in 2020, that was the entire theme of the election. On the right, I have a memory that goes at least back that far. And my biggest problem is, again, I'm 30. And so what I'm seeing is the dying of an empire, and I see a generation of people who are desperately grasping at straws because you guys don't want to acknowledge how bad things really are. And I like Trump, don't get me wrong, but he didn't pardon a single January 6th person, and he pardoned Ponzi scheme folks before he left office. One of the guys that he pardoned just got arrested not a couple months ago for another
January 6th. Well, they didn't go after all of those January 6th people who were convicted until Trump was out of office.
They were in prison. They were in jail before he left.
They weren't charged with anything, and they weren't convicted. They were arrested. Many of them were arrested, but they weren't charged, and they weren't convicted. See, you can't pardon someone that hasn't been convicted of a crime. Okay.
So let them rot in jail.
No. Listen, if Trump... There won't be justice until everybody that's involved in that January 6th committee, every single one of them is in that same filthy, dirty jail that the Patriots are in.
That's in a realistic scenario. And I appreciate you entertaining me here and hearing me out, because usually when I come across these types of situations, it becomes, very combative, because ultimately I'm trying to get, pull the wool from the eyes and say, hey, look, if you're saying, well, the Democrats are corrupt and this and that and the other.
Well, no, if you were close by, like right here, I'd beat you up. But you're too far away. So,
ultimately, my thing is, if the people that represent the Democratic Party and ultimately the people that represent the bureaucracy in D.C., they're not voted for. Most people implementing these policies aren't voted for. They're appointed. And, you or I have no control over that. And if you're saying at least half of the people there don't represent our country, this, that, and the other, which I would more or less agree with you with, how on earth are we supposed to sit here and say, well, this is a kind of a madness that we're going to continue doing every 4 years? And
the only thing I can tell you this, Anthony, is in states like Ohio here and states like Arizona, and states where even in Pennsylvania, where they still have high up corruption, now there's organizations there in those states, and the state legislators. Now the state legislators are even getting more involved, and you're going to see. And I think, by the way, I think Carrie Lake has gotten another win there out in Arizona, which she.
But she's not governor.
Well, no, but you know what? I got a feeling it's going to come out. Look, you're going to reap what you sow in the long run. All those people will be brought down. Believe me.
All of us will be brought down with them, is I guess what I'm getting at, is because of this. And this is the attitude ultimately is, well, the truth's coming out. And I got to be honest, the truth's been out for a long time. I mean, if anyone's familiar with Bill Cooper and his work in the 90s, I mean, this stuff is not.
I knew Red very, very well. And so, in fact, yeah, we were on each other's programs. But I got to move on, so let's go to Clifford. Clifford, man, can you believe how much...
Hello, how you doing? I want to ask about a couple of scriptures, but briefly, when you're talking about giving these shots to six-month-old children, there was an article in the New York Times recommending that on September 4th. I mean, September 1st, and it, recommends the COVID shot for six-month-olds. So you got to figure someone that writes for the New York Times knows what's going on with these
That's
shots.
The new COVID shot that has not been tested on people. Do you understand? They're saying, just give us your children, and we'll test this shot on them. See how many of them it kills, okay? And see what them. If you're dumb enough to give us your children, well, we're mean enough to give them the shot.
Yeah, in the meantime, caffeine's never been tested on children. You can't test this stuff on children, so it's definitely never been tested on children. But I have some scriptural things I could ask you about. One was, it says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 18, it says, destroy them with double destruction. That's an imprecatory statement or prayer by Jeremiah. I wonder if that's a 1-2 punch type prayer, or could it reference something like, for example, says in Revelation chapter.
Now, wait a minute. Now, hold it. Now, you say, let's go to Jeremiah. Let's start here before you jump all over. Jeremiah 17, verse 18. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think it was 18.
Let them be confounded that persecute me. This is in a precatory prayer. But let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed. But let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil and destroy them with double destruction. And so here, what is he referring to? Well, exactly that. That's an imprecatory prayer. He's simply telling you, he's asking, he wants to defeat the enemies, and he wants the enemies to be confounded, but not him to be confounded, so that they can have victory over his enemies. What was the other one?
One was Psalm 101, verse 3. And this is a dilemma sometimes when people try and assist the wicked. They can get corrupted. But it's saying, let not this cleave to me, David is saying. What do you think of that, Psalm 101, verse 3?
I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Well, he's simply saying he's not going to pick up the ways of the wicked. He's not going to go the ways of the wicked. And so,
right. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's all he's telling you there, that he wants to remain blameless. He said, a forward heart shall depart from me, and I will not know a wicked person. In other words, light can have no fellowship with darkness, okay? And the Bible tells, come out from amongst them, be you separate from them. In other words, David here is talking about being a separatist, and he's talking about not having anything to do with the ways of the wicked.
Right, right. So sometimes people are in a job. Say if you work with a big pharma, with Pfizer, really you should leave, even if you're just an accountant.
Absolutely. You can come out from amongst them, absolutely.
Yeah. Another one would be Proverbs, the end of chapter 8. It's daily will I wait at the post. That seems to be saying that an individual should be looking for some sort of daily personal communication from God, from the Lord. Well, would you agree with that?
All right. Here's what he says. Verse chapter 8. And at the very last part of chapter 8, it says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all that hate me love death. All right. All that hate God love death. All those that love abortion, all those that love euthanasia, all of those that love the COVID vaccine, they hate God. They hate God, okay?
Well, just before that, two or three verses before that, it's talking about the post.
The post. Okay, so if you go back, let me see if we go back. I'll go back to that's verse 31.
Yeah.
Rejoice in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore, hearken unto me, children of Israel, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instructions and be wise and refuse not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Okay. Here, the post of his doors, that's simply meaning the doors, that's the seat of authority. In other words, he's talking about those that are waiting to follow him, okay? And to go with him. He says here, blessed is the man that heareth me and watching daily at my gates. The gates is where they did all the business of the city, okay? It was the gates of the city where all the politics was settled, okay? Waiting at the posts of my doors. In other words, those were people that were waiting. Now, who's talking about this? This is the Lord speaking. This is the Lord that is speaking. So those that are willing to be obedient and follow God, that's what he's referring to. Because okay. he says, so, who findeth me findeth life. For whosoever findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. That's what God is telling you.
Right, right. And I think there's one more thing that I think it was Psalm 102:9. I'm not sure. It was either Psalm 102 or 103, but it said, "Worship the God and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And I was thinking about that when he was saying about Joel Osteen, which kind of emphasizes the material. And I don't think the worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness, that could be like a woman just meditating in a church. That's not really a material statement and doesn't really coincide with the prosperity preaching. What's your thoughts on that?
Psalm 102, what verse are you talking about?
I think it might have been verse 9, but I'd have to relook that up.
Well, no, it says, I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping.
Okay. No,
okay.
But in Jehoshaphat, they worshipped in the beauty of the holiness when they went forward. What is that? Second Chronicles chapter 20. They worshipped. He assembled them, and they said they worshipped God in the beauty of holiness. And God set ambushments against the.
You want to give me an opinion on that? I think that's 2020.
Second Chronicles chapter 20. Yeah, and it might be verse 20. Yeah, the verse I'm not sure, but I know it's in Second Chronicles chapter 20. And so they did worship in the beauty of holiness. Of his holiness.
Okay, just like, what is that saying today? What would be the application for, say, someone like an individual right now?
Well, you know, we do that, you know, at our church. We worship with holiness there. We do exactly, we're in obedience with the Word of God. We sing praises and songs and worship God and give we give words of praise. That's the important thing. I mean, I won't let them leave the church until we have a number of people that have given praises of the Lord. But we sing songs and lift hands to the Lord. That's being worshiping in holiness.
Right, right.
All right. So, but so I have to move on, though. Let me go out to Steve in Cleveland. Steve, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor. Thanks for taking my call. The guy from California, they're a lot of people, I think, they understand what they have in their head and everything. But I think a lot of people have stuff stuck in their head, and they don't truly listen to what you're saying sometimes. I have never heard you stumped, not one time in the 20 years or give or take I've been listening to you. But if anybody understands a guy you used to have on named Larry Nichols, in his book, he talks about, in the very beginning, Bill Clinton's profitable, let's just say it was white snow. He had a little, it was like $100 million, and he had to have, if you want to funnel money through different places, it's all started back there in Arkansas. And a guy named Alex Jones for the last 3 weeks has been listening to him, and it's like, wow. You go from Steve Bannon to Alex Jones to you, it's like if people don't understand after about 3 days, it's so simple. But we want to live. We're called conservative Christians, and liberalism is evil. And it's very simple. If you take the word evil and you spell it backwards, it says live.
Well, you know, we were the first ones to drop. I mean, we were the first ones to expose from inside the Clinton mob, okay? We dropped a dime on everything right from the very beginning. We had, again, people on the inside were giving us information directly, feeding us directly. And we brought that out. We didn't hide it. We didn't try to hide it. And we were threatened and everything else, but we never, not once, not one time in 50 years, ever stood down, not one time.
In 50 years on the radio, if people can listen to their own brain and then just shut it down and listen to what you say in 5 minutes, I've never heard you stumped, period. And then the things you were saying this morning, well, actually it was the rebroadcast, the first hour there, you know, you just take the Bible and you just take the verses, you know, like, you know, skin of my teeth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You get past Joe and everybody else. I mean, you guys are beyond a tag team. But you know what you're talking about. You know what you're doing. And the best thing is you don't really have a script. You just, you're going to know if you have a guest or whatever, but you just got a, you know, rough idea what you're going to do, and you just go at it with the articles. But you always put something together that nobody even has a clue, except a guy named Rush Limbaugh, who probably knew all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And he knew Joe Biden was a complete fraud, a fool, and he called him plugs. And if you look at his hair, okay, it doesn't matter, but you get your hair. I used to have someone work from years ago, and you get plugs, and it fills your hair spots. And if you take a good look at Biden and you take a good look at his son, well, there was an article there about that Biden's starting to use the bow. He's starting to use him for an excuse now, my son or whatever. But there's going to be so much exposed between a boss that Biden used to have. I think a boss would know what was going on, but it's been Obama's is, you know, clean as a whistle. That's where a lot of it started. But the, all I'm really trying to say is even there was a third building in 9/11. I've been watching it for the last couple of weeks, not even thinking about anything, but it was World Trade Center 7, a 43-story building just completely flattened. It was away from the trade centers. But the whole point of what's going on is Trump wanted to protect us, and Biden has us infected. And it's like there's 8 million people come in. And it's like, what is with this country?
Well, Biden, we told you before he spent his first day in office that he was bought and paid for, owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Chinese Communist Party. Do you know how we found that out? We heard it directly from the Chinese Communist Party. They came out and they were boasting how they owned the people, the highest levels in America, in the government. They owned them, okay?
And they didn't some liberalism.
Yeah.
But the other thing, real quick, I'll throw out this SteveFavis.com. SteveFavis.com. He has a theory how Maui burned, and it was right. There was the satellites were over Maui the day, the time, 6:37 in the morning. He's got it figured. He's got all kinds of stuff.
Well, yeah, it's easy to see those were microwave weapons that did that.
Right.
Okay.
Except the blue didn't burn. And people just watch the news and they listen, and it's like, oh, yeah, we know what's going on. It's what they want you to know, not what you're supposed to know.
Right.
It's real simple.
When you see ships out at sea burst into flames because of the metal, you know that it has to be microwave, and they've used those before. But I got to move on, but thanks. Let's go out to St. Paul, Minnesota, with Vincent. Hey, Vince.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. We talked a bit about a person having a soul and a spirit. And I pondered on that a little bit. Does that mean each and every person has two ghosts?
No. we don't have ghosts. We don't have ghosts, okay? You have...
Jesus gave up the ghost.
Well, that's the Holy Ghost. That was the Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit. Okay. The word that they use today for ghosts are things that haunt. Okay. We have the Spirit within us. So when we're triune beings, we're made in the image of God. We have a body. We have a soul. A soul is who we are. A soul is our personality. That's who we are. Okay.
Okay.
And our spirit is our life force. And once you're saved...
What happens to the spirit, then?
Pardon?
What happens to the spirit when we die?
Your soul and your spirit go to heaven to be with the Lord, okay? And they stay there...
Two entities, then. We have a soul and a spirit. Two ghosts, I would have to say.
Well, you call them ghosts if you want to, but anyhow, they go to be... And they come back when the Lord comes back, if you read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 13. Your soul and your spirit comes back with the Lord. He's right above you in the sky, and your body is raised from the dust, and it's reunited and becomes glorified. That's called the rapture of the church.
So those that might have voices in their mind, some people hear voices in their head. Does that mean that there's the soul and the spirit are in conversation?
No, you can. There could be a lot of reasons to hear. There's a lot of reasons to hear voices. I remember one time when I some years ago, we had this kid, and he had these big braces on him, and he was picking up radio signals, and his radio was coming out of his mouth. Okay, and so there's a lot of reasons you can hear voices in your head, but
All right.
Thanks, Vincent. We'll be back right after this.
I knew a man named Humpty Dumpty. He wasn't very bright, 'cause he was only playing church, and he wasn't right. And you can only hide a lie until the truth comes out. Humpty fell off of a wall because he took that route. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's couldn't put the dummy back together again. Yeah, poor old Humpty Dumpty thought he was doing fine, but he never seemed to think about how he was out of time. With the great somehow he kept on playing church. And then one morning, without warning, Humpty left this earth. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put the dummy back together. That's all God means to you. If you want to fall off of a wall, keep doing what you do. Someday or night, God's gonna wipe that big smile off your face. And only Jesus Christ can put the pieces back in place. On a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put the dummy back together again. Someday or night, God's gonna wipe that big smile off your face. And only Jesus Christ can put the pieces back in place. Only Jesus Christ can put the pieces back in place.
All right, we are back. You know, the Bible says very clearly that you reap what you sow. Now, you know, a lot of people think that out there, well, you know, I can't see God, therefore he can't see me, right? Now, what are the odds that you can get over on God?
Zero.
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 Nobody's ever done it, huh?
Right. That's okay. Right.
They keep trying.
Now, the old devil is a lot smarter than we are. Did he make it? He didn't make it either, did he?
No.
Okay. And so there you go, folks. All right, we got Pastor Hal calling, and he's joining us. Pastor Hal, you're in the air.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
We're doing okay. How are you?
Good. It's good to hear Danny Ray singing again.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He's hoping you'd sing something.
And people would change the station real quick.
All righty. We're taking calls tonight. You got to give an invitation for us tonight?
Yes, sir. I'd like to.
All righty. Well, you stay right there. And, folks, the phone number is, we have a few minutes yet to go. The phone number is 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. In fact, I tell you what, why don't you play that invitation song, and we'll do it right now while we don't have any calls. I can't believe we don't have. Usually the phone lines are jammed.
He sat in the back of the church one Sunday morning. You could see the conviction in his eyes. The preacher tried to talk to him, but he never did give in. He said, not today, maybe some other time. Preacher said, I know you've always been a good man. You believe in God, and that's not hard to tell. So why don't you just give your heart to Jesus? He said, I don't know, maybe someday I will. But he ran out of tomorrows today. He died all alone out on an old highway. No one knows if he had the time to pray. He ran out of tomorrows today. I remember how he loved the gospel singing. Sometimes he would even sing along. One night we thought he might go to the altar when the singers seemed to reach him with their song. Then the preacher gave another invitation. He said, sinner, without God you'll surely fall. Though his face was wet with tears, and the Lord was oh so near, he walked away from his final altar call. He ran out of tomorrows today. He died all alone out on an old highway. No one knows if he had the time to pray. He ran out of tomorrows today. He ran out of tomorrows today.
All righty, we're back. You know what? I didn't know. I thought you was playing one of your recordings, but you were singing live there.
Yes.
So I started talking to you while you were singing live on the air there.
Yeah, I was wondering what you were saying because I was...
Yeah, you got a strange look on your face like, what's wrong with you?
I was hearing voices in my...
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
No, I wasn't.
It was those two ghosts. That's what it was.
Is okay. That what it was?
Let's go out and talk to Bob. Hey, Bob, you're in the air.
By the way, that's a true story.
Yeah.
Hello.
I heard about that story. Yep. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're in the air. Go ahead, Bob.
Oh, hi, Pastor Ernie. God bless you all. I don't know if I want to find out if you heard about a month or so ago, I believe it was in Watertown, Milwaukee, a young Christian brother was preaching in front of a drag queen story hour or something, and all of a sudden these rogue cops just came out of nowhere and just stopped him from what he was doing and arrested him and just took him off without any warning of any sort. His name was Marcus Schroeder. He's like 19
yeah,
years old.
Yeah, I remember that. We talked about that. We had a
You did talk about it. Okay, maybe I missed that show.
Yeah.
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 Well, I'm keeping you all in my prayers. I God bless you all and keep fighting the fight.
All right. Well, you do the same. Thanks, Bob. God bless. Let's go to New York, and we have Nellie. Hey, Nellie.
Yes, Pastor Ernie. Great, wonderful show all the time. I have a question. Those brothers from, I think, the Southwest who brought all that stuff that was going to go to the Supreme Court and everything, what happened? I haven't heard anything about it. I forgot their name right now.
Well, okay, I can tell you this. Maybe I'm not supposed to, but there is some question. You know, not everyone these judges, even in the federal, have completed their oaths. Many of them have put their hand on a Bible and given a verbal oath, but they haven't completed and signed the correct paperwork. A lot of them have not done that. And the reason is they cannot be held liable, okay, for violating their oath. Now, there's some questions on actually some of those people, even on the Supreme Court, if they had actually completed the paperwork. I don't know if that's the case or not, but those brothers have not gone away. And we're going to be doing some things coming up very, very soon, starting at the end of this month. We've been talking about the civics. Here, we're going to be teaching classes at Doers of the Word. We've got some people coming in that are very, very familiar with the Constitution. And in over 700 counties now, groups, the citizens like you and me, patriots, have been able, okay, to arrange their own what? Tell me. What am I talking about? Grand jury.
Grand
okay.
Jury.
They have been able to open their own grand jury. People like you and me in over 700 counties. Now, that grand jury is actually the highest authority in the county. And the reason that they're doing this is because you have so many corrupt people today, especially in the judiciary. And so we're going to be, and when they're doing that, they're actually now forming standing militias that are lawful standing militias, and they can enforce this grand jury. It's starting to happen because our judicial system has become so corrupted, so infected. The political system has become so corrupt and infected. This really has the very, very corrupt people like the FBI and the DOJ. It has them very, very concerned about what's taking place. And so you're going to hear a lot more of that as we get closer to the end in the next 2 weeks. So I'm having, what is the civics, what we've been doing? I'm having one of my senior
tactical
moments.
Tactical civics.
Pardon?
Tactical civics.
Yeah, that's right, tactical. Mm-hmm. That's what I was trying to think
yes.
of. It's called tactical civics, and we're going to show you. It's very, very in-depth program, and it's been working, like I said. And so this is what we're going to try to take our country back very, very within the system, without going outside the system. And we can use that same system that the opposition's been using against us all of this time. You see, we've been law-abiding, and they haven't been. They have been corrupt within the system, and they've turned and they've weaponized the system against us, and we're going to turn the tables on them.
And those brothers, what's their name? I forgot their name. I have it in my notes, but I don't have that.
You know what? I'm having one of my senior moments, too. We do so many programs.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
But they're still around. There were three brothers. And yeah.
The Brunson brothers.
Oh, okay. As long as you're, yeah.
Yeah, the Brunson brothers. Yeah, we've had them. They keep in contact, and they give us updates on what they're doing. And they haven't gone away by any means.
Oh, good. So, okay, great. I got all happy about them, and then I didn't hear a single thing. But thank you so much, Pastor Ernie.
Well, thank you, Nellie. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye now. Okay, this would be the last caller for tonight, and that would be Tom in Michigan. Hey, Tom, you're in the air.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. I was just wondering what your thoughts are if the UAW goes on strike. How would that affect the U.S. economy?
Well, you know, I can tell you, they're asking a lot. They want, what, a 47% pay increase?
Right.
Yeah, that's terrible.
See, they don't understand that they're not going to win. The more the wages go up, in order to pay these higher wages, they simply raise the price of the products. And then we all end up paying more. Those right. guys are making very, very good money now. What do they make? About $100,000 an average?
Probably plus.
Yeah.
I just, if you think it's going to really take a toll on the U.S. economy?
I don't know. Right now, they've got so many thousands of cars that are sitting there right now that need to be sold, just sitting there. The fact you got graveyard. So it's not going to, it won't help the economy. In fact, I don't know.
I was in the union for 24 years. I tell you, and I'm sorry to say that, but I don't have much use for a lot of the union. It kind of tearing the country apart a little bit, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, and God bless you.
Well, thank you, Tom. God bless. Pastor Hal, it is time for you to go in and give us. How much time does Hal have? You've got 7 minutes, man. 7 whole minutes. Tell us how we can avoid hell and get to heaven.
Okay. First of all, I was reading today that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. That sounds exactly like the Democratic Antichrist Party that we got running this country today. Whether they steal the election, they kill people with these shots that they're giving people, they're destroying America every way they can. And God knows exactly, you know, what they're doing. And Jesus said, it says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And this is going to be a rude awakening for the entire deep state, the Soros and Schwab and all those guys, all these power brokers that are they're killing people to steal and get power, selling out to the foreign countries for profit and everything, and all the money Biden's got under the table. What's it going to profit them? The first minute they're in hell, they're going to wish they could undo a whole life of crime and sin and everything else like that, and it's going to be too late. They can't give it back. They're going to lose everything. But, you know, the thing is, whether you're small or great, you know, one sin will keep you out of heaven, and we sin every day of our lives in thought, word, and deed. And the only thing that can wash away our sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It's not through the city's water system. It's not through your good works. It's not with somebody wearing a fish hat on their head and walking around in a long black dress or whatever, giving you some absolution for your sins. It's only through Jesus Christ. That's why John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so if you want to go to heaven, John 3:3 says, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That means we were born the first time physically, or you wouldn't be hearing me talking right now. The second birth is spiritual, and that happens when you come to God. Bible says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And repentance is admitting something to God he knows already anyway. And without Jesus Christ in our hearts, we're like a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners on our road to hell. But when you repent of your sins, tell God you're sorry about the fact you're a sinner and mean it, and ask Jesus to come into your heart and give to you the payment he paid for you on that cross, he'll do it, and you'll get eternal life. When Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment for every sin, every dirty, rotten, lousy sin you've ever done. But that don't become yours automatically. When you, by faith, ask Jesus to come into your heart, he comes in and he gives to you that payment he paid in your place. It's a free gift. You cannot earn it. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That means when we get to heaven, nobody's going to be patting themselves on the back saying, I got here because I was a good Methodist, Baptist, or anything else like that, helped old ladies cross the street or give to charity. They're going to be giving Jesus Christ all the praise for getting them there. And then John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And not just knowing about Jesus up in your head gets you to heaven, not just accepting it intellectually, but receiving Jesus personally. And that happens, Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The call means to pray. And Revelation 3:20 said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, in other words, hear his word, and open the door, I will come in. So right now you're hearing his word. You found out what Jesus did for you on that cross, that you can't save yourself, but he saved, you know, he paid the payment, but you've got to by faith receive it. So if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can do it right now. God hears me talking to you right now. He knows every thought you got right now. He's knocking at the door of your heart right now, but only you can open up that door and let him come in. He's leaving that up to you, whether you want to go to heaven or hell. You got to do it his way. And so my job as a preacher is to lead men and women to Christ. In fact, every Christian ought to be leading people to Christ. And you can ask Jesus to come into your heart right now. We could say, I'd be glad to lead you in a simple prayer of faith. But even though we'd be praying together, it'd be directly between you and God. Because only you can ask Jesus into your heart, and then he comes in. So if you want to do that right now, God's going to make a record of it. And God's going to give you eternal life if you pray and you mean it. So let's pray. Oh, dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. I believe that you died on that cross and shed your precious blood to wash away my sins. And I here and now, Lord Jesus, ask you to come into my heart. Give to me personally that payment you paid for me on that cross. Give me eternal life. I receive you right now as my Lord and Savior and my only way to heaven. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen. Now, folks, if you just prayed that prayer and meant it, God made you a promise in 1 John 5:13. He said, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. That word believe on meant that you received him as your Savior. Not just believe about, but believed on. And why? That you have, and what happens? You have eternal life.
1 minute.
That's God's promise to you. Now, if God makes you a promise that you're going to have eternal life, if you by faith pray and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and mean it, then God cannot lie. And that means if you prayed that prayer right now, you have eternal life. It's not something you physically feel. You receive them by faith. So that means right now, like for me, for example, I received Jesus, my Savior, back in 68 in the Marine Corps. That means from that time on, if I had a massive heart attack, dropped dead, or whatever, I'd go straight to heaven, not because of my good works, but because I received the payment Jesus paid for me on the cross, just like I hope you guys did tonight. And if you did, I'll see you in heaven. Go ahead, Pastor.
Absolutely. Because we do know God's word, the Bible, means exactly what it says. It says exactly what it means, and it means, and we know, unfortunately, that there's a whole lot of people going to run out of tomorrow's tonight all over this world when they don't have to. They don't have to. But, folks, you don't want to be one of them. So if you haven't, call upon the name of the Lord. You may not have tomorrow. I would do it tonight. When the preacher tells you that, he's only a messenger. The message is coming from the Lord. Well, we're at that point where we get to every night at this time where we say, good night. God bless. And always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing!
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop-off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.